family. I'm so happy to announce the launch of my brand new premium podcast. It's called Ideas That Matter Plus. This is an exciting new development that we've been working on for some time. This after seeing a lot of you request coming through saying thank you for what we've done and wanting more. Ideas That Matter Plus is a more targeted podcast that focuses on business strategies and more high-level thinking to help highly ambitious entrepreneurs, SMEs, business owners and founders, even the CEOs of big business. It only costs 450 Rand per month and will be coming in, but I mean coming in hot. So, subscribe now to Ideas That Matter Plus, now available on Spotify or Apple Podcast Store. Sayonara.
Hello, Viti. Hello, family. I'm such a big fan, Vusi. My name is Kahai, all the way from Nairobi, Kenya. For the whole of last 2 months, I've been feeling so stuck. One day, while I was just drawing, I normally do drawing mostly. While I was drawing, I just came across your video, and for the whole of last month, every day I've been binge watching and listening to your podcast and your videos. They've pushed me a lot to actually push myself to start doing something, because I've been feeling so stuck in actually taking action to doing things. There was this one YouTube video, I think the title is Ideas Are Not Something, Ideas Are Not Anything If You Don't Actually Work On Them. And for me, it really pushed me to see like how maybe I was delusional to things which I thought, you know, like once you have an idea in your mind, it cannot really manifest until you actually do it. And for some reason, the way you just speak it, the way you just make it so connect so good, and I'm just grateful. I just wanted to say so thank you and continue doing the work. I'm such a big fan. Thank you so much. We love you.
Yo, my man Lucy, shout out to the VT podcast team and everyone that keeps following. My name is Neil. I'm also from the East Rand. And I just want to say, man, I've been following your podcast for quite some time now, and I've learned a lot. But I have to say, the episode that stood out the best for me, and I still practice and listen to still daily, is The Science of Money. That changed my whole narrative about money, because I'm from a Catholic background. I also been hearing all these weird ideologies about money. In terms of changing my mindset and changing the way I speak about money, and finally changing the way I use money. It's amazing, man. I can't say what it has done for me in a short space of time, but I wish it would be taught in schools. I wish it would be taught to accountants especially, because some seem to not get it. Speaking from experience, so thank you a lot, man. And my son just got birth today, and I'm really happy that I got to hear that before he was even on this earth. So shout out to the VT podcast. Thank you.
It's time to take your seat at the table. Find out how with Vusi Tembegwayo as we discuss Ideas That Matter, a catalyst for bold action.
Hello, family. Here we are. Hello, family, and welcome to another episode of the VT Podcast. And here we talk about ideas that matter. I know you guys have missed me. I know this because in my DMs is all I've been hearing. All I've been hearing is, when is the next podcast coming out, right? And somebody sent me a very funny message. They said, Vusi, you are worse than a drug dealer, because you're like, serve us this content, and then as the minute we're addicted, you withdraw yourself. And then they said, worse, you withdraw yourself without warnings. And they sent me one of these memes of like somebody sitting there very cold and kind of frozen and doing the you know that thing you do when you're cold, and they sent me one of these memes and they were like, this is us with the withdrawal symptoms, drop an episode. Oh man, I miss you guys all the time. I really do miss you guys all the time. I really, really do. I've been all over the world, as is my nature. Where have I been? We've been to Europe. I did Amsterdam and Paris, and been in other parts of Africa as well. I've been in South Asia, and I've been in North America. So by God's grace, I've been all over the world, and it has been a fantastic whirlwind of travel. I've loved every moment, every second. I must tell you, something very strange is happening, which is this. I'll find like I'll be walking through an airport, right? And then all of a sudden, I'll just hear like, hello, family. From somebody I didn't even know in a part of the world. And I'm just like, I didn't even know we had reached that far, right? So it's, listen, I love all of you guys in the community. You really do make putting these episodes together such an honor and a privilege and a joy just to contribute and to share with all of you guys. It's so cool. Love, 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 love it. The other day, I was in Zimbabwe. I always say this. I think I've said it before on a VT podcast. Every time I say Zimbabwe, my mind immediately jumps to Robert Mugabe speaking, I think it was, I may be wrong, at the United Nations General Assembly. And he says, blah. I am a child. he says, blah. You guys remember how like Robert Mugabe used to like really stretch out his words, and towards the end he would like tilt his lips, blah. I feel like he could have been like a villain in like Lord of the Rings or something, you know, like one of those villains on Winter is Coming, I say. I can't breathe. I'm getting stomach pains. Hold on. Ooh, sir. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Right. Anyway, so we get back to the podcast. So every time I say Zimbabwe, I always imagine Robert Mugabe going, blah, keep your Britain and leave me, my Zimbabwe.
Blair, keep your England and let me keep my Zimbabwe.
So, every time I travel to Zim, I just like, I have this at the back of my mind, you know, and I've had several people from the beautiful country, by the way, gorgeous, gorgeous country, notwithstanding its economic challenges, just a beautiful country, unbelievable people, honestly, unbelievable people. But every time I travel into Zim, one of the things that always sticks out at me is like, if you ever speak to a person from Zim, especially with a heavy like Zimbabwean accent, you know, you guys find a way to add consonants to words, you know, so against is againist, you know. what did you say? Againist. What? No, chief, there's no I in between. It's against. Yes, againist. Alright. Now, for those of you who've never listened to the VT podcast before, because usually what happens in the world of social media today, somebody will cut out that little clip and send it to you guys, and somebody will go, I can't believe he's such a bastard about Zimbabwe, he must never come here again. There are a couple of things about the VT podcast you must know. The first is we don't take ourselves altogether that seriously. We take our work that seriously, but we recognize that we're human beings. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. This is just fun. Right. The second is we love the idea of looking at each other's idiosyncrasies and laughing at those idiosyncrasies and sharing to those idiosyncrasies. So if anything, please feel free to take the mickey out of me. They often do when they send the voice notes, so feel free to become part of the community in that way. Good. Great, family. So what an amazing couple of weeks it's been, right? First, before we start, and this will kind of give you a sense of how long it's been since our last podcast, I think let's just all of us, no matter where in the world we find ourselves, let's send some thoughts and prayers to the people of Palestine and the people of Israel. This is a long-standing conflict that certainly has been around before I was born, and I suspect will be around long after this too. And I think what we all of us should pray for is we should pray that we have leaders who are seasoned for this moment. One of the things I really believe in as a student of leadership is that moments reveal the seasoning of a leader. A person can have the right composition, they can have the right education, sometimes even the right makeup, the way they speak, the way they move. But you don't really get a person's constitution until the moment of leadership comes. There is a certain seasoning that must bring you to that moment. Anyone listening to this podcast who has had life them, as I often say, because it doesn't matter who you are and where in the world you come from, how smart you are, how educated or good-looking or well-spoken or connected, life will life you. I think it was Sylvester Stallone who said, "Nobody will hit you as hard as life." And I think for those of us who recognize that, we know that one of the ways life lifes you is putting you through trials and tribulations. But it is only often at the end of those experiences that you recognize you have been a bit more seasoned. You come out different. You move different. You think different. You analyze different. You relate to people differently because life has seasoned you a little bit. And so what I hope for the people of Palestine, what I hope for the people of Israel, these are the peace-loving people. I'm not talking about the incalcitrant extremists who post all sorts of crap on social media. I'm talking about the people who are calling for a ceasefire. I'm talking about the people who are peace-loving. I'm talking about the people who want to preserve human life. The people who recognize just the incredible gift that a life is. What I pray for all of you is that we have leaders who are seasoned for this moment. Many months ago, I was invited to one of the leading medtech companies in the world. The CEO of the Africa business at Medtronic is a dear friend of mine, Peter, he is, and he invited me over there, and I'll tell you why this is important in a moment. And so I went over there, and he wanted to show me the work that they do at Medtronic, and they're the ones that brought the innovation of the pacer to the world. The pacer is the device they connect to your heart, right? And if your heart kind of skips a beat, or you have certain malfunctions or idiosyncrasies within the functioning of your heart, I don't have the medical terminology for it, so please forgive me. But this pacer would regulate, right? It would regulate your heartbeat, basically keep you alive. Sometimes even for people who'd suffered heart attacks, it would keep them alive. And he was showing me this incredible innovation of the world's first pacer. It's big. This thing was like the size of an iPad. And now over the years, they become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And as they become smaller, more intelligent. And so I'm in his office and I'm sat next to one of his key lieutenants, an incredible lady. And she was talking me through the innovation of this pacer. And I asked her a question, which I would like to ask all of you. I asked her, when does life begin? Because there is the moment of conception, and then there is the moment the heart starts beating. When does life begin? In that conversation, one of the things I found really fascinating, as they were taking me around their facility, they showed me stuff they do that has to do with arteries, for instance, and how they help people who've got, sort of clogs in their arteries that might lead to heart attacks and a whole host of things. And I was fascinated, listen to this, I was fascinated at the symphony that has to exist and has to play every second for you to breathe. The symphony, just the functioning of your lungs, the functioning of your liver, the functioning of your bowel system, the functioning of your heart, this beautifully
orchestrated relationship, this musical play between your brain, your spinal cord, and your heart, between your nervous systems that receive information and the computer that is your brain, more powerful, they say, even than the world's most advanced computers today. This incredible, incredible manufacturing by our Lord and Savior, this incredible gift from God, this brain that does all of this work, that converts all of these receptors into signals, these signals into information, this information into what you know to do next. Just as you listen to this, these are all at work. As you hear the words, the tone and texture of my words, the beam and boom of my words, the pitch and pace of those words, as your eardrum is receiving those receptors and vibrating, and the sound then making sense going into your brain and your brain interpreting it, letter by letter, word by word, that too, just the instance of seeing, the instant of listening, the instance of tasting, touching, of smelling, that is a God-made miracle happening every day. And here we are, living in a world where people are being killed. It's just the most extraordinary thing when you consider what it really takes for a human being to exist. And so I pray for our brothers and sisters in both Palestine and Israel that the world has the leaders who are seasoned for this moment. Seasoned for this moment. Right. Whew, what a tough place to start. But I suppose it's a necessary place to start, given how long it's been since our last podcast and some of the feedback that has come back from you guys. Thank you so much. Again, don't forget to send those voice notes. They really do go a long way. I must tell you that I personally love the voice notes. We listen to them, each and every single one. Believe it or not, I listened to each and every single one every time before we do a podcast. So as you hear this, send those voice notes. We don't always get a chance to play all of them, but I listen to each and every single one of them in the world, no matter where you are, each and every single one. So the last question, which was the opening video then, or rather the opening audio, right at the end, sir, you said, "You've just welcomed a little child to the world." Can you believe it? That's what inspired my podcast today, because I thought about germinations and how things come into being. Yesterday, true story, just yesterday, my eldest son was turning 13. It was an emotional day for me, and I'll tell you why. So my father died when I was 13. And I remembered then, as I do now, the relationship I have with him and had with him then. And it's a precarious age to lose a parent, right? First, there is never a convenient age to lose a person you love. So please don't misunderstand me. But as a young man coming into the world, losing my father at the age of 13 was a precarious thing. First, I lost him in what was exactly 1 month and 1 week before my 13th birthday. Sorry. So, in what was exactly 1 month and 1 week before my 13th birthday. Second, there are, for those of you here who know, physiologically and biologically, there are certain things a young person, a young male, goes through when they reach the age of 13. There are certain maturations that take place. There are certain comings of age that take place. And it's very difficult to go through those without having a reference man in your life. And I didn't have a reference man in my life. My father was my best friend. He was the sensei of the dojo. He was the guy I spent most of my time with, right? So my dad was literally my best friend. I didn't have kind of older cousins that I could lean on. I didn't have older uncles or anything like this. We were not that close. So this was a very difficult, very, very difficult time and a very difficult experience. All of that notwithstanding, I went through that time as one must. And so I thought yesterday about, when it was my son's birthday at 13, I thought yesterday about what are the questions I wish I could have asked my father then that I would like to answer for my son now. And then I started reading a little bit about this age of 13 and how for so many cultures in the world, the age of 13 is a coming of age. It literally is a coming of age. All sorts of cultures have initiation processes that they take you through when you reach that age. And so my podcast today is going to be about this. It's going to be about the coming of age. Why coming of age? Well, first, because there is a process of growing up you must go through and a process of maturing you need to endure that takes you to the person you are intended to be. There is an understanding across cultures that until you go through that process of coming of age, you are not a full member of society still. You are a member, no doubt. You are a human being, no doubt, and you have rights that are preserved, absolutely, at a human level. But you're not yet a full contributing member of society. It's almost as if your status then in society enjoys certain limitations. These coming of age rituals are a part of the things that signify that you are now ready to be a full and functioning member of society. You see, most of us can probably think of individuals that clearly haven't grown up yet. You know people like this. They're childish and immature, despite their age, never taking any responsibility or owning the consequences of their actions. In essence, they're children, often in an adult's body. It's precisely these types of people who need or would benefit most from these coming-of-age rituals. So these coming-of-age rituals then are a signifier that you are ready to act in a manner that is proportional and representative of yourself as a full-functioning member of society. These coming-of-age rituals are recognized universally almost as necessary, since they, as individuals who have not gone through this process, often fail to embody the spirit of adulthood. Tradition may be able to step in to thrust them into the role as part of their collective. And this is one of the things that comes through in this process of coming of age, is how it recognizes you as a part of a collective. In the great book, King, Warrior, Magician, and Lover, it's a fantastic book, by the way, Rediscovering the Archetypes of Mature Masculinity, Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette write this: a man who cannot get it together is a man who has probably not had the opportunity to undergo a ritual initiation into the deep structures of manhood. Now, we do live in an age today where we are often wont to for trying to pull down what it is that is masculinity. Recognize I'm not talking here about toxic masculinity, although we can have an entire podcast about what that is, whether or not it exists. And it depends, by the way, yes, on where you fall on the spectrum of critical theory, whether or not you believe in the idea of a toxic masculinity. But that notwithstanding, I want to keep to this theme in the moment of coming of age. The focus in their work was on masculine, on the man. It's true too, by the way, for women, and I'll tell you a bit about that in a moment. They say that there are a few things that must be recognized when you have not gone through a process of a coming of age. The first is that you are stunted and that your perspective of the world is often false. The reason your development is stunted is because you've not gone through this process of maturation. The reason your perspective is false is because it's based on a childlike understanding of the world. The second is that the reason this is because all initiation processes typically have a sacred space that you must go through. For the people of the Xhosa nation, for instance, there is the initiation of going up into the proverbial mountain, about which those of us who are not Xhosa often hear about. But there is a separation from society, a sacred space you are taken into, and there, in that sacred space, you endure alone or as part of a smaller collective, a process that brings you to a new awakening. It is this new awakening, then, that once you come back into society, you bring into society as a fully formed, functioning member of community. These are necessary rituals that for all of us, we must go through. A part of what they posit in their work is that in part the challenge we face with the world today is because we've not had enough of these coming of age rituals, these very necessary rituals that all of us must go through. And so, for instance, if you were Jewish, you would know that at the age of 13, for the male, you go through the bar mitzvah, and for the female, you go through the bar. And again, the idea there is that there is a coming of age, a certain process that you must endure that takes you from being a child through the process of adolescence and then into an individual who can act as a single standalone member of society and not only as somebody else's child. These rituals empower us, both individually and collectively. One, they empower you individually because they prove to you that you have the mettle to endure a process of maturation. More importantly, they empower us collectively because they are a safeguard, if you would, a measure of comfort for other members of your community and your society, that if you have gone through those rituals, there is a level at which you must be able to operate, think, and exist that creates a sense of comfort for other members of your community. It isn't to say that you won't experience challenges or difficulties or sometimes that you won't even fail at certain things. Quite the contrary. It is to say that at the very least, your mettle around your ability to go through each of those systems and each of those seasons in your life, let me add here in parentheses, each of those inevitable seasons in your life, that muscle has been developed. So they help us go through difficult problems. They help us create habits. They help us learn. They help us grow. But they also help us connect. Some might wonder, what's the importance of a coming of age? What is the importance of these traditions and rituals? Well, they're an important part of identity. They're an important part of how we celebrate unique cultural heritages within family, and they're an important part of how we build community. When you say, I am a certain thing, often that is rooted in what you have had to go through and what you have had to endure to become the thing you are now claiming. I am a man. What does that mean? Well, what have you gone through to prove that you are a man? I am a woman. And what does that mean? And what are the processes, what are the rituals that you have had to go through to prove that you are where you are? Did you know that even in Christianity, for those of us who are believers, there are coming of age too? A baptism, a first Holy Communion, the first reception of the Eucharist, for instance, or even the confirmation. These are sacraments of the Christian initiation process. They are processes that take you through levels of maturity as you come of age. Why am I sharing all of this with you? Why is it important? You see, I think coming of age help us do three things. The first thing they help us do is to shape our emotions. The second thing they help us do is to place events in perspective. And the third thing they help us do is to have a sense of ourselves in the context of others. Let's discuss all of those. When you go through these comings of age, these initiative processes, they stretch and test your emotional muscle and force you into a space where you yourself are forced to deal with your emotions. And so, as you go into the world, confronting your emotions every day, you surely will, you have learned at the very least and tested your muscle in your ability to deal with these emotions. So that's the first thing they help us do. They help us deal with our emotions. They help us develop the ability to deal with our emotions. The second thing they help us do is to connect ourselves to major events, to understand that. And then finally, to understand where we fit in the context of society in our relationship with other people. Simply said, they help you become a more well-rounded person. I have a theory, and it's the reason for this podcast. My theory is that as we've made the world increasingly more technologically advanced, we've made the world increasingly more comfortable, some of us have opted out of our coming of age. And so what we do is we try and medicate our way out of a coming of age. Hey, life's tough, medicate my way out of it. Hey, my business is struggling, medicate my way out of it. Hey, my relationship with my partners are falling apart, medicate my way out of it. We found all of these safeguards and all of these soft cushionings into the world today that we sometimes don't go through what you need to go through to become the person your destiny demands of you to become. See, here is the little unknown fact, but it is a fact. You don't have to change. You can stay the way you are. That is completely possible. You don't believe me? Go on Twitter and just watch the average level of discourse and conversation. People stuck at who they are. You don't have to change. You don't have to become a better version of you. You don't have to mature. You don't have to become a more inspirational version of you. You don't have to become a more well-rounded version of you. You don't have to do those things. However, your destiny demands of you that you do. So here is the choice. This is the Morpheus moment now. You can take the blue pill and stay the way you are. And you will live the world and live in the world quite comfortably, possibly, the way you are. Or you can take the red pill and offer yourself for these experiences that are a coming of age. And at every experience, a new you will be revealed to the self. You don't have to know what the experience is going to be. You don't have to know how much pain or displeasure or discomfort you would endure. All you need to know is your destiny demands of you to become the person you need to become on the other end of that experience. This moment in our world is a calling to those of us who are growth merchants to look for the opportunities to come of age. And so the question I have for you in this week's podcast is, have you embraced the opportunity to come of age? The question I have for you in this week's podcast is, if you're going through your experience of a coming of age now, have you surrendered yourself to it? One of the greatest lessons I've learned as I've gotten older is that true wisdom surrenders itself to life. It doesn't fight it. True wisdom recognizes that life has a certain cadence, a certain rhythm, and a certain flow, and that it is for the wise to follow the flow of the river of life, rather than try to pedal against the current. In this season of your life, those of you called upon to have a coming-of-age experience, I want to give you right now the tools of how you do that. The first tool: the recognition that this is not a group project. A coming of age is a personal quest. It's something you have to do on your own. Sometimes it's something you have to do intentionally absent of the people you've had in your life to this stage of your life. It requires of you to build the internal resilience, the ability, the mettle, the core, the skill, the functioning, the chutzpah, the belief in self that you alone can go through what you need to go through to get to where you need to get to. So that's the first place. The second tool is to constantly keep your eye on who you are becoming, not who you are. This is the problem with the world today, isn't it? It's all about, who am I now? Where do I live now? What do I drive now? What do I do now? What do I earn now? Who are my friends now? How many followers do I have now? Very few of us keep an eye on who we are becoming. As a reason and as a consequence of this, who we are becoming is consequential rather than intentional. See, if I am intentional about becoming somebody, then I manifest it so. I make it so. But if every day is happening to me, then I end up in a place I might not have volunteered myself for. being intentional. And the third tool to remember as you go through a process of a coming of age, this is the one that'll help you have a sense of normalcy, is the one that'll help you not absolutely lose your mind, is to remember this. You are not unique. You are not unique. You are not alone. You are not the first human being having this experience. Many have been here before you, and many will be here long after you. This is the beauty of being a human being, the surrender to this wisdom and this cadence, as I said earlier. You are not unique. You're part of a sum. You're part of a whole. You're part of a community. You're part of a group. But more importantly, you are part of a lineage of people who have had the courage to go through the experience you are going through. So, friends, family, I hope for you, those of you who go through this moment, these comings of age, the birth, the rebirth, the maturation from childhood into adolescence and from adolescence into adulthood, as you morph in your journey, wherever you might find yourself, how important it is you recognize that you are not unique, you are not alone, you're part of a lineage, and that the person you are destined to be requires of you to have the courage to go through what you're going through now. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I share that with you because yesterday when I was musing over my son's birthday, I thought if there was one thing I would have liked my father to tell me, it would have been that. I would have liked my father to tell me, you will go through things in life, and it's not because life is terrible to you, or because you're a bad person, or because you've somehow been chosen to go through this terrible experiences, but rather because the person you are destined to be is required to go through what you are going through. So my friend, my son, I would have liked for him to say, lament not the experience, but rather celebrate the opportunity to have it. Celebrate the person you become at the other end of it. What a podcast. What a power podcast. I'd love for you to send us your voice notes. Tell us a bit more about some of the coming of age experiences that you might have had. I would love to hear from you from all over the world, no matter where you are, about the cultures and rituals from your own part of the world that people go through when you go through a coming of age. It's a universalism, it really is. And perhaps our generation needs to learn the wisdom in it. All right, friends, family, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you again. And as we close off every single podcast here on the VT Podcast, sayonara. Hello, family. We love to hear from you here at the VT Podcast, and we've made it even easier for you to do so. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note about your thoughts on our podcasts on +27 81 505 7667. That's +27 81 505 7667. We look forward to hearing from you.
This podcast was proudly brought to you by My Growth Fund in partnership with Sound and Sounds Media.